Hey, hello everybody. Welcome to a new episode of .Netflix. We're here this week at the Dev Intersection Conference in Las Vegas, and we're having a blast. And today we saw the keynote by Mr. Scott Hanselman.
Hello.
Very nice to be here, and I think it's very nice that you took the time for us. And
My pleasure.
Totally, and I saw that you had a lot of troubles getting here, so...
Yeah, a little bit of flying issues and weather issues, and I got stuck in San Francisco for 5 hours.
Oh, that's not good. Yeah. Well, so it's great that you're here.
Yeah.
We saw on the Dev Intersection schedule, we saw that your title is actually the Principal Community Architect for Web Platform and Tools.
I made that up.
Oh, that's cool, because I thought it was a very cool title.
But yeah, I just made it up.
Yeah, nice. And could you give us a little insight in what that is, what you do?
Well, of course, at Microsoft, there are developers. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a developer track. Those are people who are writing code and committing code and are responsible for shipping code. And then there are the program managers. Mm-hmm. And the joke is that program managers delete email.
Okay.
but the program manager's job is to make sure that the product has the features that you want. They've talked to the customer and made sure that it, you know, they shape the product. And they've explained to the dev that it should work this way and it should look this way and it should behave this way.
Mm-hmm.
But my focus is primarily on community, making sure that the voice of the community is heard.
Yeah.
I originally went to Microsoft to open source everything, mm-hmm. right? So the whole point this whole time has been to get to the point where we are now.
Yeah.
But now that we've open sourced things, it's not a destination, right? It's just a stopping point.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now we need to do it right. We need to make fewer mistakes. We need to get the versioning correct, you know?
Yeah.
So making sure that that stuff works, as well as getting people signed up and thinking about .NET who haven't thought about it before.
Exactly.
So, for example, I own the .NET Foundation. Martin Woodward works out of Ireland, and he is the head of the .NET Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Maria, on my team, lives in New York, and her job is to work with technical schools, code schools, boot camps, to make sure that they're on .NET, and that .NET is represented when you see Python and Ruby and Go and things like that.
Yeah.
And then Jeff Fritz on my team owns WebForms and WCF and things like that. And he makes sure that the community is being heard as well through things like the .NET blog and the web dev blog and things like that. So kind of program manager of miscellaneous, but community and outreach. Would
and a lot of evangelism going on to make sure that .NET is out there.
I would disagree on that one. I don't like the term evangelism.
Okay.
With all due respect, I know that there are people whose job it is. They work for the evangelism org.
Mm-hmm.
A little known fact about me, I've never worked for evangelism.
Okay.
It used to be called DPE, Developer Platform Evangelism.
Okay. Yeah.
And then it was called DX, or Developer Experience. I've never worked, I worked in MSDN.
Okay.
And then I worked for the product team, but I've never worked for evangelism.
Okay.
But because I'm so loud, people assume that I'm the chief evangelist.
Yeah.
I don't like the word evangelism because it makes me feel like you're trying to convert someone's religion.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Evangelism, for me, personally, this is my opinion, it evokes the kind of like, your religion is wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, it's a bit of a loaded term.
And you want to show what's out there and then make people want to use it. And then
now, again,
experience it.
I'm not saying our evangelists do that, but I'm saying that that's the feeling that the word evangelism has for me.
Okay.
So I like the word advocate.
Advocate, yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm your friend on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also said this before, that one day I will get fired for doing something where I was pushing for the customer and I pushed too hard.
Yeah.
But I have a very supportive boss. He said, and then also my friend Chris Sells once told me, if you don't get in trouble twice a year, you're not pushing hard enough.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So we push, and I encourage my team to push as well. And one day I'll get fired, but when I do, know that it was for the community.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we appreciate that because we're also out there before the community. We want to let people know what's out there. And if we talk about .NET, .NET Core, for instance, we think it's a very cool framework. It's a very cool change that we see at Microsoft. But we were wondering, because we as developers, we see the advantages, but how can I convince my boss to start looking at .NET Core, and what could be the advantages for him? What's in it for him?
Well, the thing for the bosses to know is that C# and F# and VB are all great and powerful languages.
Mm-hmm.
That's on top, right? Underneath, we've got Roslyn, which is the open source compiler. That's shared everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
The Windows.NET uses that. The Linux.NET uses that. The Jitter, the just-in-time compiler. The garbage collector. This is all shared code.
Exactly.
The libraries, we're trying to make it so there's a standard library that is supported across all those things. So then the decision is, do I want to have a full framework that has the full power of Windows,
mm-hmm.
or a slightly smaller, more compact, tuned for the cloud?
Yeah.
You know, kind of an optimized framework that is for server-side workloads, small microservices, web APIs, websites, and things like that.
So things can coexist because they will probably have the full framework and they have applications running on that, and then they can slowly emerge to something and use
An example would be a full framework app that's a WPF app, or maybe something that's a UWP app, a Universal Windows app, that talks to, you know, it could be running on Windows, but it talks to an ASP.NET Core web API that runs in Docker on Amazon or on Linux.
Yeah, right.
And what's the long-term vision here? To support both, like the full .NET framework and .NET Core? Or do we see a future where in 5 to 10 years...
Who knows?
There will only be the land.
Keep in mind that .NET Core didn't even exist a couple of years ago, so I can't tell you if there's a master plan.
Mm-hmm.
The master plan, I think the best way to put it is to let people who want to use .NET and C# use it anywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So whether it be, I like to say, 64K to 64 gigs. Raspberry Pi to the cloud and everything in between.
Right, and you pick the best option for your scenario.
Yeah, exactly.
And you use your existing skills that you have.
Well, if you think about what languages right now let you work anywhere, right? You know, Go somehow, Node.js to a little an extent. You know, JavaScript is in a lot of places. Portable C. You know, but having C# or F# or VB being a language where I can take someone who's been a WinForms developer at a big company and say, hey, you know C#, right? Yeah. You know you're an Android developer now.
Mm-hmm.
And have them go, oh, that's great, as opposed to being afraid.
Yeah, so there's a lot of productivity in that because you have the skills. And
you know that.
You know the frameworks.
You know Link, you know Async, you know Await, you know all the characteristics of a good C# app. Yeah, you should be successful on any platform.
Yeah, that's cool. And we saw today the announcement that there is a preview of the 1.1 version, 1.0. And we saw a lot of cool features in there. So if you could pick four of the biggest or the nicest features, your favorites in there?
I would wrap them all up into one, which is just the addition of new APIs like system.xml. I mean, the idea is that we're moving towards .NET Standard 2.0, where you're going to be able to take most existing .NET apps and have them be .NET Core apps.
Okay,
right now, when you look at Core, you see a smaller surface area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, like, I think there was like 1,000 new functions available. So, new APIs are available on 1.1 coming soon.
Nice. Yeah.
So what's the process of support in Azure? Because you've got these new versions rolled out, and then we've got like app services in Azure where you can run your .NET Core apps.
Mm-hmm.
Will we be able to use these previews in app services, or do we have to wait for GA?
If you publish it as a standalone application and copy all of it up there, then yes.
Okay.
If you want it to be a system or a machine level installed one, then you wait.
Okay.
Right.
So again, it's up to you.
But then it's RTM that gets installed. It's not the preview, so you have to wait until RTM and then sometime.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
We'll have the long term versions up there while the what we call the currents, or the ones that are happening, you know, every couple of months, you'll want to deploy yourself.
Yeah, nice. Okay. And the open source, doing it in the open, how is that working for you guys? Because I think for you personally, because you're a very open source advocate, so you said, but for the other members of the team, I think it will be a very big change for existing teams, right?
You know, people have to be more polite in their code comments. And you can't swear in your code, you know. I think the hardest part is that you see you see all the sausage getting made, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not pretty when you look in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So the thing that's a little bit ironic is that people said, you know, oh, we like your menu, we like this restaurant, but I want to see what's happening in the kitchen. Are you sure? It's really not very nice in there,
you
know?
Go there anymore.
Software is hard. Software is confusing. So yes, you see us make some mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Naming things wrong, removing things, starting one direction, going in another direction.
Yeah.
People, I think, are a little bit hard on Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at Node, you know, they forked the whole thing and came back together. You know, like other projects, open source is messy.
Yeah.
So you can choose to look at that, or you can choose to wait till it gets baked and then use that.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think that it's very good for people to just also read up on stuff because it's out there. There are blogs there. So the naming things, a lot of people are complaining about it, but I think if you look at it, it's the choices that are being made are really obvious and they make sense. So
exactly.
I think that's very cool.
Yeah.
So that's all the time we have for today. thank you very much for talking to us. It was a great, and have a better trip home than you got when you came here.
Well, I have got many more miles to go before I sleep, so I'll let you know on Saturday when I get home.
Okay. Well, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Had a blast.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
And I hope you guys enjoyed it also, and maybe we can welcome you to another episode of .Netflix. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.